What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. This one talking more rookies, but this one is a little bit more about the expectations being, like I said, that camp is coming up. Real quick, though, we do want to shout out the sponsor and Prize Picks. Play $5, you get 50 instantly in your lineup. We will talk a little bit about Prize Picks later on. And also shout out to the subscribers. We are now up to 13,300 plus. Shout out to you guys and to the members. If you'd like to become a member, you hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get a ton of cool perks. So, Miami Dolphins, for the third time, will start their rookie mini camps. Didn't they cut it short last year? Didn't they only do two? Or is that OTAs that they cut it short?
OTAs. Rookie camp is the most useless piece of time and experience I've ever experienced in my life.
How do you really feel?
People are learning how to run to different fields of practice and learning how to practice. And I think Robert Saleh said it best in Tennessee. He was just like, yeah, I don't have my draft picks participate in this because, you know, they could get hurt. Mm. Like, why would I do that?
You know why? Because he explained it that Dante Fowler Jr. once upon a time like tore an Achilles on the first day of rookie minicamp. So it was like, yeah, no more.
Yeah. They basically bring them in orientation. This is where we meet. This is the locker room. Let's size you up for pads. Let's size you up for cleats. Let's get everything right. Okay, this is here's some housing people. We're gonna put you in this temporary housing during training camp. We're gonna, you know, this is the meal structure. Let's get your diet right. All this ridiculousness. Here's a playbook. Here's your iPad. Here's how we study these things. Yeah.
They couldn't coach 20 rookies.
They can't coach 20 rookies. I stand on that. They can't coach 20 rookies. But orientation, there's going to be a lot of trial guys, and the trial guys are going to try to impress. And the best way to impress is to show up some draftee, and therefore the draftee could get hurt. So it's like a – It's just to show off your new toys.
Do you know how to try out this week at a rookie minicamp for the Green Bay Packers?
Chase Claypool. Yeah, he should be a tight end by now. Why is he not a tight end by now?
Chase Claypool.
Listen. You should not have as much anger for him as what team was it that traded for him? Chicago. Chicago, and then the Patriots and Pittsburgh got off him. We were done with him after a cup of coffee. He went to Buffalo, got hurt. You know, he's had a rough go of it.
Yep. Second round pick.
So the 3 days, because I remember, I think it was Mike McDaniel. He cut like one of these camps short a day. I don't know if it was OTAs or something.
We always end mini camp early. We always end mini camp early. The rookie, they're lifting weights. They're not doing anything. They're going to be on the field so we can take pictures, and that's about it. Am I lying for hard?
You're not selling it. The excitement of this. We're supposed to be making things sound exciting. We're not doing that right now.
All right, my bad.
But you're not lying.
Yeah. you won't learn anything other than that they know which field to run to when the whistle blows.
No, and in the past they used to take one of either the mini camp days or the OTA days and go bowling all together as a team.
It was OTA days. I remember the time they went to Dave and Buster's, and that was a fun, memorable experience because it was the first time I met Brent Grimes. I've told the story before, and they were this is the first time we're meeting like players. We're at Dave and Buster's, and they show and I say to somebody in media relations, I was like, "Where's Brent Grimes? I want to meet him. I want to go see him." They're like, "Yeah, he's over there playing with the kids. He's over there with the kids shooting basketball." And my response, I go over there and I look, and I go, my response is, Which one's Brent Grimes?
Oh my God.
And Miko did not like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like you couldn't tell which guy. Like Brent is small and, you know, he looks like a kid.
Boy, he still does.
That's too funny. So yeah, we'll talk about the expectations of these rookies. Had a lot of picks in the top 100. So, you know, there's some expectations. Let's start with Kaden Proctor. We'll go down the list.
All right.
How about that? We'll kind of really quickly go down the list of these rookies and kind of talk about our expectations of said rookies. So Kaden Proctor, he right now is penciled in at left guard, penciled in. We'll see how things go there. Obviously, my expectations are that he starts. You take the 12th overall offensive, you know, lineman, the 12th overall pick at offensive lineman. I expect him to start. Do I expect hiccups? Sure. You know, I don't expect any of these rookies to not have hiccups and, you know, struggle at some point. If they don't, fantastic. That means you got yourself a star. But, you know, I think he's going to be very solid. I think he's going to get his weight under control. I think he's going to turn it around here because, again, there's a difference between being a college player and being an NFL professional, and I think this is where he turns it around. So, you know, I wouldn't say my expectations are high.
What is the difference?
Well, college is college.
College players are paid now. I'm not sure I agree with you. They're paid. They've got ridiculous expectations. Based on their salaries, based on what, you know, what you were brought in here to do, you got to deliver the pressure. There's no fandom anymore. They're all professionals now. So I'm not necessarily certain I agree.
Yeah, I guess because the pressure is more, like, I understand that there still is pressure in college, but I think that the pressure is more in the NFL, especially because in college, you don't have that status of being said pick, whereas now, as Proctor, he is a first-round pick, 12th overall.
I think Proctor, when he came to Alabama, was a five-star, expected to start right away freshman.
But is that the same pressure as being a first overall pick?
Pretty much. You got paid your $1 million deal. You got highly recruited. You came in there. Job was given to you. What's the difference?
Well, there's a little more pressure in the sense that now you have to go up against the best of the best every week without question. And you're going to have to be able to hold that down the entire time to say, yeah, I am that dude. I am that first round pick. Because now that level of competition, you're not playing Alabama State in week 3. You know, you're not playing, you know, those 4 games is just sitting on your schedule to help a HBCU or whatever it may be. You know, so you got to live up to it now. Now you got to say, I belong with the big dogs. Is that simple? Right. Or I'm a puppy in this league, you know, trying to make a way. No, not to go right into mine, but my expectation is to show you a big dog day one. Mm. You holding your own. You're not getting bullied.
They want
a big dog. You're an anchor in this league at the guard.
Day one of what? Day one of starting?
Friday.
He ain't doing nothing Friday.
I'm just saying, the first day, whatever matters, you better show up and show out. Whenever that first snap happened, Kaden Proctor has high expectations. This ain't no developmental piece. I want to hear nothing about no development. This ain't no Chop Robinson. This is the number 12 overall pick. You big guy, strong guy. Go out and show that you belong in this league. You're a dog.
Is he going to pass the conditioning test?
Yeah, he is, Omar. I'm not doing that with you. What is up with you in this?
I'm just asking a question.
But you keep asking that question. Like, what, do you doubt that he will?
Just your answer.
I don't know.
Man, the man will be fine. Stop. He'll be just fine. You know what? We probably won't even mention conditioning once everything starts.
Can I mention on this May 4th, as I look at TD and I, we both look like Princess Leia with the hair buns over here. So may the fourth be with you. And by the way, are we gonna ignore Malik Willis's ceremonial first pitch at the Marlins game the other night? TD, are we really gonna talk about this?
Man, I ain't gonna lie, man. I thought I saw a ghost, Alan. I thought somebody had returned for a little bit.
I think his ceremonial first pitch was perfectly fine.
You mean other than being 7 feet outside? Yeah.
No. I'm talking about that person who he's not gonna name. Yeah.
Maybe that's hope then, Alan, because if a ceremonial pitch is fine from another guy.
Okay, anyway, let's go back to the serious question. The expectation, he's better be in the starting lineup on opening day, and he better be at a bare minimum solid. At a bare
Jonas
minimum.
Savanaya. Go better than Jonas Savanaya. That's all my expectations are.
At least as good as Mike Bonsi was as a rookie in 2011.
Who? You crazy.
Why? Why are you crazy?
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
Bonsi was a dog day one.
Proctor can be a dog day one.
Yes. Okay. Sure.
Wow. So,
Would you feel better if I said, or at the very least, Laramie Tunsil 2016?
I'll take Laramie Tunsil. I'll take Juwan James. I'll take adequate year one starter.
That's the baseline.
Yeah. I'm not like expecting them to be Pouncy. That's like expecting them to be Jake Long. Like I said it. I said what I said.
Pouncy was not Pouncy as a rookie. Simmer down.
Pouncy was not Pouncy as a rookie. I gotta real evaluate that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Bouncy was, you know. But I just don't want him to suffer from heat exhaustion. I don't want him to need an IV till pads come on in week two of training camp. Don't need an IV day one. Don't need an IV this weekend. Don't need an IV. Because if you need an IV, which is probably what they need to do, they need to run you. So you need an IV so you get to learn. Like this ain't play. Out here you will dehydrate, so you know, learn the importance of fluids. That's pretty much all they can get out of these. Right now every coach is different, so who knows what this coach is going to do. But you know, I haven't been here when a rookie camp mattered in a decade.
Yeah, but we're talking expectations for the season, not for the rookie mini camp. My expectations for the rookie mini camp is he shows up.
That would be nice.
Shows up, nobody gets hurt. Expectations for the season, I just want him to be a 14-game starter.
14.
Making room for injuries, because injuries happen. Offensive linemen, you're rarely going to find an offensive lineman who's played 17 straight games for like five seasons. It happens. You get an ankle here and there. So, and just be better than Jonas Savanaya. I'm not.
Wow.
The floor, yeah. I mean, there's what you want from me, like
better than that. Sorry.
Yeah, he's just be better than that. Just be better than Jonah.
A lot better than that, though.
You hope?
A whole lot better.
You hope?
Chris Johnson. My expectations for Chris Johnson, starter. Starter. And again, corner's hard. Go from college to NFL with corner, it's kind of difficult.
Disagree.
You always disagree.
No, disagree. Cornerback's the easiest position to play. Man or zone?
I don't think so. I think it's a little bit more difficult, especially because you have that one where if it's pass interference, it's only a 15-yard penalty versus, you know. So I feel like it's a little
either
bit
way, more you're not supposed to be touching the receiver. So
I still think it's more difficult for me anyway.
Inside nickel spot, maybe. Outside guy, you're outside corner, you're man or zone. Passing off, making sure you know the calls from the safety. It's the easiest position to play. Like, remember when we had Sean Smith and Vontae Davis rookie starters?
Mm-hmm.
God rest Vontae's, but Vontae wasn't very bright. Y'all know that. So
why?
What? It's Sorry. Just I'm just making up a point. It's not hard for a rookie to play. It's not. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to play cornerback. Man is own. Like I covered a University of Miami team where Devin Hester could not learn the playbook, and Antro Roll held his hand the whole season, told him, "You a man or you in zone?" That's all. And stood, played next to him. He played next to Antro Roll. Antro Roll told him what to do every single play.
Man, yeah, but it's still harder, Omar. You keep discounting what they're going up against: the Tyreek Hills, the Chases, the Justin Jeffersons of the world. Here
in training camp.
No, I know that we're talking about the season.
Okay.
The expectation. It's a little. It's hard.
Just don't lose your confidence. Don't get no egg monogamy. That's all.
Well, I don't think we're getting no egg monogamy.
No, I'm just saying. Just don't have him lose his confidence during the season. If he starts to struggle,
put him in the right situation. That one right there.
I mean, injuries press all rookies into playing time. That's how.
Yeah, but don't put him up against Stephon Diggs and have him constantly get burned and then stay. You stick with Diggs. Stick with Diggs. You know, you're gonna stick with him and constantly burn. That's gonna kill your confidence right there.
That killed. Whose confidence was that? That went up against Diggs. Was it Cater?
It was Noah.
No. In Buffalo against Diggs.
Oh, but we're talking Noah in Miami against Diggs.
No, Noah in Miami got beaten up by Russell Wilson.
By Stephon Ben Russell Wilson the following week, but he first came in Byron Jones, pulled a hamstring or something, and Flores stuck him against Stephon Diggs. Which
instead of like, switching him when he kept getting targeted.
And Ben was having his problems with John Brown that day too, so it didn't necessarily help all that much.
Yeah.
That's a problem with what y'all talking about right now. We're having a discussion about losing confidence. If we have that issue with any player, then we pick the wrong player. This confidence thing, where are the mental tough players that confidence can't be killed? That's what I hope we got a whole bunch of.
Everybody's confidence can be killed.
No. I totally disagree. Everybody's confidence can't be killed unless you're just not good enough.
Everybody's confidence unless you're just not good enough. Confidence can be impacted.
Your confidence is killed when you give up. You know what? I'm not good enough. Other than that, come on, man. I mean, you either feel like you can rise to the occasion eventually and you keep at it.
Devon Achane was fourth on the depth chart behind Savon Ahmed before he eventually got on the field and tore it up.
Yeah, but where was his confidence ever lost?
I don't know if he was as confident as he is now. At the early start, he wasn't doing too hot. He wasn't this confident warrior he is now.
I don't know if he was looking in the mirror.
Then he got the knee injury
himself. So no more guys looking in the mirror questioning themselves.
I'm sorry. I can't.
A lot of players do that, though.
I can't name you a rookie who has not questioned himself. Patrick Paul questioned himself. Jonah damn sure questioned himself. Tua questioned himself. Austin questioned himself. Robert Hunt, when he wasn't starting early, questioned himself.
I don't remember Robert Hunt.
I don't know about Jalen Waddle. Jalen Phillips questioned himself his whole career.
Yeah, but that's part of his makeup. You're being overly dramatic. That every obviously
Liam Eikenberg questioned himself.
Rightfully so.
Where we at? We going to next year. You damn sure know Channing Kendall and Eric Uzukama questioned themselves.
Point, Omar. We need to get to the point to where we have guys that don't. And those are the dogs. Those are the winners. Those are the guys.
I don't think those players, I think those players are rare and unique.
That's what we need. That's all I'm saying. Again, the better players in the league, they don't question themselves. They have the utmost confidence.
No, I feel like at some point.
I'm not sure that's reality. I'm just not. Devontae Parker. I'm trying to think of rookies who didn't question themselves. Maybe Jarvis didn't question.
Didn't Joe Burrow come out and say that he started to question himself last season? I know one of the top quarterbacks came out and said
that. Guys,
injuries? No, it was something else. I don't remember which quarterback it was, but one of them said that they started questioning their ability and everything.
The mental challenges of playing that sport and playing at a high level and then not handling criticism when it comes your way is not, it's not easy to do. Mm-hmm. And the, I could tell you very few of them brush it off. Like, oh, when Brent will tell a story about when he was on the practice squad in Atlanta and everybody's telling him that he should be playing. That still chipped away at his confidence, and he actually wanted to quit football. Like it's not as easy as y'all as people want to portray it to be. To be successful,
mentally tough.
Kenneth Grant questioned himself. Chop Robinson, y'all know, questioned himself. Jalen, did he question himself all last year?
All I'm saying to you, these players that question themselves, even if they turn out good, they probably not turning out as good as they possibly could have been, keeping that positive mindset, because they working against themselves mentally. And this is why a lot of these guys go through these mental ruts. And why I think, you know, mental health and stuff like that, like talking through these guys and like, no, everybody talks about mental health and counseling it. But what about improving it? Just like working on like getting ahead of it. I think that's guys what
Austin
need
Jackson
it.
Did. Yeah. Austin Jackson worked with a mentalist and confidence and changing your thought process. And it really worked for him. But I can tell you that that's not everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's not how everybody reacts.
Yeah, it was Joe Burrow. He questioned if he still loved to play football or not.
That had nothing to do with his confidence, though.
Yeah, but still, at the end of the day, he still questioned his love of the game.
Yeah, but that's the difference.
Not of whether he could play or not, though.
It's like guys just had to establish themselves as NFL players. Of course, there are going to be times when they're going to like be, you know, wondering about their status in life and all that, but mm-hmm. this notion that like everybody's confidence gets rocked, everyone, you know, come on.
You don't think if one of these rookies, or even if an NFL player gets their confidence rocked and they start to question themselves, but they push through it and they play better than they did before they question themselves, to me, that shows that they have more strength and more toughness in themselves, that they can get through such a hard spot. Because, you know, not to get philosophical, but in life we start to really question ourselves at some point. I deal with, you know, I have anxiety, I take medication for my anxiety, and you got to push through it and makes you stronger at the back end of it. So
yeah, I agree with the back end piece of that, Doug, but like we have to be careful when we say like that makes them stronger. It actually doesn't. Not having to go through that actually is the stronger one. Being able to pull yourself out is beautiful, but being able to avoid having to go in that rut in the first place is way, way bigger. And a lot of people dismiss that, but those mental tough individuals, that's massive. And that's what, and like even me in my personal life, I strive to get to that, because there's points in my life where I did. But working myself to that point to where I don't have to worry about it, don't question myself, and just keep pushing forward, it's actually harder too for those individuals, because they have to take a lot on the chin and eat a lot, but keep pushing through and not worry about the negative. So I just think that's the type of player we need if you can get them. And otherwise, work with these guys and make sure you don't crush people. And if you do, make sure you're building them right up, because they can stay in that rut and it's a bad thing.
Do we have high expectations for Chris Johnson?
Yes. Day one nickel. Yeah. He should be able to give me what Xavier Howard did his rookie season. I don't see why not.
Except it wasn't when he broke out of the second season. He actually, if you remember, X had a knee injury in training camp as a rookie and got off to kind of a sluggish start. I expect him to be a starter day one and be at the very least solid quarterback. I'm not expecting 6 picks. You know, as a rookie, I'm also not expecting to be toast all season either.
Jacob Rodriguez, I'm gonna ask the question a little different. High expectations, low expectations for Jacob Rodriguez. I guess you could say that. Yeah, I have high expectations for Jacob Rodriguez.
Define high expectations.
outperform his pick, I guess you could say.
A second round pick's got to outperform his pick.
Not saying he has to. I'm asking your expectations for him.
Me?
Yeah.
Start 8 games. Start half the season.
Wow.
Like, he's not, I personally believe he's not, he's going to take on one of the tougher competitors in training camp. Terrell Dotson, he's at a career defining moment where if he gets he gets unseated by a rookie, he's making the NFL minimum for the rest of his life. If he puts together a good season this year, he's in the $5 to $6 million range for starting linebackers. Like, everybody's aware he's probably not going to be here next year. So he's playing for his survival. Those are the dangerous veterans to take on.
Now, to piggyback off that real quick, and I'm going to veer off and then come back into this. Austin Jackson, do you see Austin Jackson coming out and playing hard like that? Because it's a foregone conclusion. He will not be with it. I think drafting Proctor also really made it obvious that Austin Jackson will not be with the team next year. Can you see him doing that as well, being like playing his butt off?
I think he was naturally going to play his butt off whether or not they drafted a right tackle or future right tackle or not. Austin's issue is he just can't stay healthy. It's always something that flares up. Somebody steps on his foot and now all of a sudden his foot is broken. Like we going to call him soft because somebody, because who was it that stepped on his foot? I forget who stepped on his foot, but somebody stepped on his foot, broke his foot, and what you want a man to do on a broken foot?
But it's like the worst thing to happen to an offensive lineman, too, because like you say like, oh, it's just his foot, or you know what, turf toe. When people say it's turf toe,
no, turf toe is a
probably you ever seen turf toe.
I've seen more injuries ended by turf toe in my career than I've seen injuries ended by ACL.
Yikes. That ended Joe Burrow's season, didn't it? Turf toe, essentially. It was like a extreme turf toe.
No, he came back. And Austin Jackson was going to be gone logically after this next season, regardless of the Caden Proctor pick.
Yeah, but a question on the linebacker for Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Is Brooks getting an extension?
That's the rumors. That's the rumblings. He's one of the pillars, one of the three pillars.
I my answer to that question is no. These guys, all they doing is claiming broke, and they got to take care of one guy. And yeah. I don't even know if it's going to motivate them to take care of one guy, because they might want to fall into the Alan Pard plan of make them earn their keep.
And how would that have worked out? Looking back,
I didn't bring up all that old stuff. I just said the Alan Pard program.
So if he doesn't get,
I'm always in the program of you got to make an example of the players that earn the rewards and show people there's the carrot. You got to go to it. Poupard's always make them earn their money.
Yeah.
No. Mine is more of a balance. Mine is not you pay everybody just because their contract's up. And what they have, and if they're at a point right now where it's not like we're not paying anybody. It's like we need to take care of our salary cap mess, which they've done. Now, the decision is going to be, let's project when we're going to be able to be contenders and where's Jordan Brooks going to be there, and does he fit into that equation? If he does, he's getting an extension. But that's what they have to evaluate.
Does he fit to you into that equation?
More than question, Dotson, man. Does.
That's a dumb question. Yeah, certainly more than Dotson.
He's had two seasons of durability. He's going to be turning 30 this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Linebackers can play to about 35, depending on whether or not they can run or not. I don't see why he wouldn't fit, especially if he's durable.
I'm just saying, if they don't extend him, then he's getting traded, right?
No.
They're going to play this man and not get anything in return and let him be a free agent next year.
You'll get a compensatory pick for him.
No, you won't. How many? Okay, look at the Dolphin roster. Hold on. Look at the Dolphin roster. How many guys are they going to have who are going to be UFAs next offseason? All guys who are getting the veteran minimum right now. Who are going to get veteran minimum next year, who are not going to fetch you compensatory picks, and the Dolphins probably are going to sign a couple of those guys. So that's not going to work. So to me, it's going to be, if the Dolphins decide he's not in their plans, they're going to try to trade him.
You wouldn't have him in the draft room on draft day if you're going to try to trade him.
Well, he's more like a
he's one of your deadline. Biggest. He's one of your biggest culture pieces for your organization.
Another fair point.
He is literally the alpha of that team. He's the biggest culture piece. You're not laying any foundation for any kind of culture if him or Achan are not here.
Sound like he getting extended.
Achan is not a culture guy. Come on.
Wait a minute. You telling me your top player is not a culture piece?
No, he's not.
Achan works hard. He produces.
Achan is on fast and I score touchdowns. Pay me.
He doesn't look for days off or come on, he's a culture piece. Achan is
he's an indirect culture piece.
He's a good leader by example. He's not. I'm sorry.
He was trying to be more vocal last year. He sat with Teron Armstead and watched him for his second season, the entire year. He's learned a lot about leadership. Now the question is, can he bring it out?
Who's the leader on offense?
They don't have one. Malik Willis.
Aaron Brewer, Malik Willis. It's not Devon Achan. Sorry.
This Devon Achan's team. It's going to be Devon Achan.
Is it Devon Achan's team?
Who else's team is it?
Malik Willis.
No, he's a quarterback. So was it Ryan Tannehill's team when Tannehill was here for 7 years?
You're the one who kept saying it. You kept saying it was Tua's team. Seriously? Really? But now it's not Malik's team?
I don't know Malik Willis. Like, for all I know, he might get beaten out by Quinn Ewers. I can't sit here and say, oh.
Oh, why so flagrant?
I don't know him. I haven't seen him throw a ball. I've seen him throw one ball, and it went extremely right.
Omar, he has it. I'm telling you, you just got to wait for it.
Okay.
Let's do it this way now. Third round of Caleb Douglas, Kamarik, and Chris Bell. Who has the highest expectation of those three? Or I'm trying to see how I could word this because I don't have any expectations.
That was good in itself.
Because Merrick's got to be a day one starter.
Yeah.
Conversation over.
Like, I have no expectation for Caleb Douglas. I like the pick of, you know, eventually, but when they made it.
No expectation? None?
It should have been Bradwell. It should have been Ted Hurst. But again, I'm trusting Sullivan because he knows his wide receivers.
You don't sound like you trusting Sullivan because he just told you I liked Caleb Douglas over 12 other receivers. And you're just like, I don't expect anything.
Yeah, well, you know, Sullivan also told me there's going to be a competition at quarterback. So.
There is competition.
Now there's a competition for the number three spot between two FBS rivals.
So, you know, that pick was a head scratcher for me. So I don't have, again, I go by the motto, I'd rather be surprised than let down. So I have no expectation of Caleb Douglas. If Caleb Douglas comes out and he has an 800-yard season, all right, exceeded my expectations.
I expect Kevin Coleman Jr. to actually be the rookie that is in position to have the most opportunities to start because he's just learning. He's just working at slot, slot and returner. And when you watch him, those are elite slot traits. Those are like legit slot traits. And if he's smart and can pick up the playbook, he's playing right away. He's Devon Best in this situation. And Devon played what lie did I tell? In 2008, Devon played ahead of Ted Ginn Jr., an undrafted player playing ahead of the number one draft pick.
He was a He was a rare elite route runner. With
Kevin Coleman Jr. is a rare elite slot route runner.
Sure, we'll go with that. The highest expectations for me are Chris Bell, but it's not going to be 2026. Okay. If the question is 2026, it has to be Kaczmarek, and he has to make a noticeable difference for the running game with his blocking.
Okay.
Kaczmarek is kind of given for me. So I actually don't have as high of expectations. I kind of feel like I know what I'm going to get. Even on the low end, I'll be fine. It'll be at least just as good as Dulcich. And I feel like the baseline will even be better. But Caleb Douglas has my highest expectation. And I'm going off of the quarterback on this in the quarterback skill set. He's the guy that's going to unlock Malik, because Malik, in that small sample size, the one thing Malik did on an elite level is lead that ball downfield on the sideline, dropping it right in the bucket. And this is the guy that can put his arms up without jumping and just grab it. And that's going to unlock Malik and himself. So when you say, Doug, I don't think he's going to have 800 yards or nothing like that. I don't know, man. You might sneak out.
It's not that I don't think he's going to. I just have no expectations. So.
Got you. Yeah, it's easy not to, but he's going to be a very prominent part of the offense. I think they're trying to pencil in him a spot. Bam, this is your side. Yeah. But that's going to be up to the other guys, see if he can keep up with them.
You know who he reminds me of as a wide receiver? He reminds me of Preston Williams, where there's speed, there's size, there's supposedly good catch radius. Preston was a very good camp hurt player. He just did it. Huh?
He wasn't as fast as Caleb, though.
Sorry.
No, you don't see it?
No.
Round four, we got two linebackers. Trey Moore, is he going to be a linebacker, or is he going to be more of an edge?
He's an edge, weak side guy, according to Halfley. And then Kyle Moore is a inside linebacker / safety.
Kyle Lewis.
I have high expectations for Kyle Lewis.
Which one's more? What's more?
Trey Moore. Kyle Lewis. I have high expectations for Kyle Lewis, especially because that's a steal to get him at 138.
Hangover.
I think he's going to play safety.
Full time?
We'll see.
That's a transition to a room that he's not familiar with. Wouldn't be the first, because Isaiah Johnson is a safety, and then there's one safety that's moving to inside linebacker. Poupart. Go ahead. Tell me the name.
You just told me something about Isaiah Johnson that I wasn't aware of. I'll have to check.
Isaiah Johnson, cornerback. He changed to safety and was a gunner last season before he got hurt.
Colbert, what are you thinking about?
Jordan Colbert. There you go. And Jordan Colbert went from safety to inside linebacker. Now the question is, and I did ask this question to Halfley at some point, are you going to undo both of those position switches? Which doesn't seem like they're going to.
You're talking two guys are going to battle just to make the roster. Lewis, my expectation is he's going to be a sub package player, and
they're both
could be solid. Give me, let's say, a pick or two.
Okay.
Man, you know how long it's been since we had a really good linebacker room?
A while. Dansby,
Kevin Burnett.
Yeah, that's the last time.
And was it the room or just like those two? Like, I feel like we got a four-man room.
Do they have a four-man room? I wouldn't be all ultra confident in that room yet. Just me.
I mean, Dawson, the baseline of it is already confidence enough in Brooks and Dawson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brooks and Dawson, good backup, and then good backup in the one that we like a lot. What is his name?
Willie Gay Jr.
Willie Gay Jr.
Oh.
D.D., I'm old enough to remember last year when there's some folks who were talking about the Dolphins having one of the best top front seven in the NFL. So I think we need maybe let's see.
Whoever said such a thing?
Whoever said that foolishness? Like,
you know who it is, Omar. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Perk. I'm sorry.
Now, real quick, because we got 5, 6, and 7. Those last three rounds. Now, do you have any, before we get to round five, do you have any expectation for your 6th and 7th rounders? Or is it just try to make the team?
Never.
Nor 5th round.
6th for me. Special teams.
I don't know. I have some expectation for Taff, I feel like. And then obviously Omar has some expectation for Kevin Coleman Jr.
What are your expectations for Taff?
If at least be a backup. That's my, don't fall down that depth chart. And I can see him being a backup. I can see him being a starter. I can see him pushing Dante Trader. I could see him pushing, some of these guys. I like his play style, Michael Taff. He's smart. To me, that's the biggest thing that is going to help him fight to possibly start is how smart he is.
You got to be not just smart. You got to be tough and you got to be physical.
Yeah.
I gotta look at that toughness and physical because smart ain't going to do it for you at safety.
Is this not going to be one of the best training camps ever?
No.
It's going to be fun for us.
What? Are you kidding? You got stuff in to look at everywhere. What are you talking about?
Name me 10 players you excited about.
Malik Willis. Okay, Kane Proctor, how he look? Is Chop taking the next step?
I said excited about, not curious.
Stop it.
That's what I said. I said excited.
Okay. Rodriguez, obviously. Chris Johnson. Caleb Douglas. Let's see what this is about.
See, I said excited, not curious.
I'm excited to see what he is.
You're being nosy now. Go ahead.
No. Kenneth Grant.
Dulcich.
Kenneth Grant. You just being nosy again.
I said
excited
so
about, not curious. I said excited.
I like
about.
Dulcich. I'm excited to see Dulcich. I want to see.
I'll give you Dulcich.
I like what he was doing at the end.
Omar cut me short here. You come in, Lonnie Johnson. I'm excited to see what he do. If that's right,
you
I'm
curious. To see You're Lonnie not excited. Johnson. You curious? No.
I mean, I know what these guys are.
You curious?
Hey, listen, can Quinn Ewers give Malik a run for his money? I'm excited to see
again.
That.
Curious again?
No, man, it's all on the roster. Jonah on the right side.
I'll give you one. I'm excited. I want to see Halfley. I'm excited to see how he runs this training camp.
You're curious.
I'm with you.
I'm excited. It's new. It's fresh. You got in the car. It smells good. You don't tell people. Don't start my car. I want to keep this thing.
For excitement. No, it doesn't work that way. You're very curious about these particular things. You're not.
Is excited. That not exciting?
I bet you. How about this? I bet you the attendance for this training camp is going to be bigger than the attendance for last training camp.
Oh, well, last training camp wasn't all that.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I bet you it's bigger than 6 years ago.
You know what? The biggest exciting thing that will bring in the fans is Malik Willis. They want to see Malik Willis. They want to see him connect with Caleb Douglas, Tutu Atwell.
Until we start getting reports about how the offense looks out of sync and
that's expected.
That's old news, Omar.
If people get upset about that, like, oh, it looks out of sync or so-and-so struggling, then they don't know ball because gonna happen.
Yeah,
it's all new, fresh.
They're going to hit the ground running.
It's going to happen.
There's a lot of excitement in this camp. There's so many things to look at and see if it passes the eye test. Come on, Omar. Y'all
not excited about nothing. Y'all just curious. Y'all nosy.
I'm shocked y'all not again. Are you Malik, excited?
Malik, you're excited about.
I'm curious.
Curious?
You're a fan. Yes.
No. It's beyond that. Y'all are just curious right now, and then when you get that confirmation, y'all gonna get excited.
I hope so. Shoot, I'd love to be excited.
See, I told you, I see the end in the
call
beginning.
Pino Steve, and we'll get to donations after we talk about Prize Picks. He asked a good question though. Who's your number one pick for Dolphins jersey? They're not on the current roster. Never get an active player's jersey. Ever.
If you're forced to pick one, I would tell you Caden Proctor.
I'm getting a Rodriguez.
Oh, you mean
Rodriguez might be a good one, but
you mean a rookie jersey?
Anyone?
Oh, any Dolphin player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a no brainer. You get an A-chan if when he get extended. Wow! How you don't get an A-chan? You definitely get a Malik Willis.
You definitely get
a Malik. If you spend all that money on all them Unos, you better get a deuce.
If you got yourself an Uno jersey, again, do not get active players' jerseys. Get a Marino, get a Taylor, get a Thomas, Surtain.
Get you a Patrick Paul.
Okay. I could see that one. I'll give you Patrick Paul. I'm getting Rodriguez. If I have to pick active player, Rodriguez.
Two players, really.
Patrick Paul, I wouldn't get his jersey because I have no guarantee that he's going to be here past 2 years. You got to go with the guy who's going to be here the longest to ensure your investment. Two years. Guaranteed money's up in 2 years, Playboy.
Yeah, but he getting extended.
If he is a quarterback in the league. And he doesn't perform this year, he ain't going to be here long, Malik.
He's performing, though.
I hope so, man. I'm hoping and praying, but I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket.
Top 10 quarterback in the league. You heard it here first.
I'll do a backflip and break my
top 12. We'll go 12. Top 12.
And did you start off with top 5?
Hey, I'm there, too. I'm just trying to make it neutral for more people to get the big picture.
TD, we got NBA playoffs going on. You got any prize picks? You don't got to pop it up. Just talk to us. Talk to us about your prize picks.
Man, you better know it, man. Listen, prize picks, my Boston Celtics are out of it because Tatum got hurt. You know, injuries can derail a season. But listen. Right now, I'm on the futures game. Make sure you get in on the action. All you have to do is scroll over at the top, and you'll see NBA season and play the futures, which gives you all the things that you can bet on for the future, all right? Especially NFL season. You can go find your favorite players and project out what you believe that they're going to be able to achieve in the 2026 NFL season. They got a lot of good lines, and we kind of gave y'all a little steal last week. Go look at Devin Achane's line, and either way, whether it's touchdowns or yards, to me at least, that's a steal. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of it. All the futures are up, NFL season futures, and NBA is up as well, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in on the playoff action, I got Tyrese Maxey, 19.5 points, Joel Embiid over 5.5 assists, and De'Aaron Fox over 14.5 points. Tell me on that. You can also follow us on Prize Picks if you want to get in on the action to see everything we're doing. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineup. But you can't forget, use code HMA so that you can take advantage of the opportunity. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel.
Here you go. Here you go. Let's get to some of these donations. R. Stovall said, is this one-year deal free agent class better than last year's one-year deal free agent class? That's a good question.
Can't do worse.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who got signed last year. So
Caleb Douglas, Zach, Jack Jones.
No, Zach Racer.
Rasul Douglas.
No, Rasul. Oh, so we count Rasul Douglas and Jack Jones late in the process?
Correct. They were both in the summer, so they don't count. It was like Zach Wilson, James Daniels, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Ife Melifonwu, Ashton Davis.
Enough said.
Yeah, it was a rough class. So this year is going to be better.
But hold on. But some of those guys were starters. Can we say that there are five starters on in this group of free agents?
How many were starters? It wasn't five.
Melifonwu, Davis, James Daniel started the year, began as a starter.
Melifonwu was a part-time starter.
He still played a substantial amount. He played 600, 700 snaps. So,
yeah, but this one has some starters by default, right? Because it ain't many people in the room. Like at safety, we brought in some guys. Corner, opposite. Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. But it's, again, it's a very low bar to cross.
Mm-hmm. Baby Jane with a fiver. Appreciate you. David with a tenor said, can each of you tell us your football background? Have any of you played high school or beyond? Can you talk more about play calling strategy on both sides of the ball? Your chance to brag.
I'm a brag with my limited scope. I just played high school football. I was a backup safety, and I volunteered to punt the football, which I sucked at punting, but it made me good at punting because I would punt it straight up in the air by mistake. It would come down, touch a player, we'll get it, and then we got the ball. I was pretty good at that. But outside of that, just some youth football, coaching youth football with my sons, bringing them up through the different wires of flag and tackle. That's pretty much it. But I won some championships in that, but that's it.
Played when I was younger, played some in high school, was the D-line. I was going to play in college. I got hurt, broke my elbow, and then I was going to do a walk-on college. And St. Peter's, who has a very good basketball team, I think they made the Sweet 16 a few years ago, St. Peter's College. And then they disbanded the football team.
Wow.
I was in freshman orientation, and the football player, I think he was a running back, was like 5'10". And he looked at me and he was like, do you play a sport? And because again, I'm 6'5". And I was like, yeah, I play football. He goes, all right, when orientation's over, you're going to come with me. I met the football coach. He was like, what position do you play? I said, defensive end. He was like, all right, cool. Training camp starts, yada, yada. And then, boop, football team went away. I was like, I train all summer for nothing. So that's my story.
Probably in the best shape of your life, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll never get back there ever again.
I played four sports in high school. Football was one of them.
Played football, but not that significant. Wrestled in high school. Learned football from Walt Frazier, legendary coach. Our senior year was the year we were investing in a lot of freshmen, including Santana Moss, and we eventually won the championship. They played as freshmen. But we won the championship like 3 years later. Yes.
Santana.
Yes. Santana, J-Boy, some guys who went to FSU, Donald Heaven. But, yeah, just we had a good football team.
Dominic with the fiver. Appreciate you, bud. Brian with the tenor said, happy Monday, collective. Heard Alan is quite the tennis player. Alan, can anyone on the collective best you?
You play tennis, Alan?
I do. I don't know what those guys have. So.
He ain't about that life, Alan.
Alan serves with spin, and he hits back with spin. So.
Yeah, I got to get on the
court. Make noises, Alan, when you hit.
You don't want those problems.
Oh.
Jay Tillman, member for 8 months, said, Omar, have you not seen the video of Malik throwing?
I have seen the video of Malik throwing. There's a difference between seeing video of somebody throwing and then actually watching them throw live. Huge difference.
So, especially the way the Dolphins do their videos where they like slow it down.
But when I talk about it, people get in their feelings about when the Dolphins doctored the video just a little bit.
You're going to see that spin in camp this year.
Okay.
Dominic asked, TD, you still think we're going to win the division? No one on this team is elite yet. Some are just very average players. You play okay. Who play okay?
Yeah, yeah, I do still see it. Okay. I see it happening.
You see Javier that? With the tour. Appreciate you, bud. Dan Dolphin said, Rodriguez, Johnson, and Bell think we will be standouts this year. Got a good feeling with this regime. Maybe Super Bowl 63 in Vegas in 29.
29, which
live in Vegas, FYI.
So that's 3 years from now.
Speaking of Super Bowl, I want to throw this in there real quick. We're not eligible for Super Bowls anymore. Why is that?
Right now.
Oh, look at you making rain. Whatever it is about the stadium it not being up to standard, I think a lot of it has to do with the parking access that they have.
Because of the racetrack and everything?
Yeah. I don't know specifically what they are not up to standard, but the truth of the matter is Steve Ross don't care because he makes $1 billion throwing F1 week every year.
So yeah, but we want some Super Bowls.
Keep your billion for the Super Bowl every 5 years. I'll take my billion every week. My billion every year.
I don't care about hosting.
They built a structure probably less than $10 million that I was in yesterday that they're going to tear down. They built like a $5, $6, $7, $8 million structure for people to watch the race, and they're going to tear down like to this week.
Yeah, I don't care about hosting. I want to be in one, so it really don't matter to me. Idleman, watching Dougley's interview with Teron this morning gave me high expectations for Caden Proctor. Yeah, I had Teron on. We talked yesterday. It was pre-recorded. But I picked his brain about Caden Proctor, his weight issue, and, you know, the band of brothers on the offensive line and stuff. And
did you talk to him about stamina and heat exhaustion?
Yes, yeah. I did. I talked to him because I said, you know, about the weight and the heat and everything. And because he's working with O-line mastermind, Caden Proctor, which is what Teron, you know, Teron. And Teron, then Teron talked about how that started and everything. It was a good interview. It was fun. It's always fun chatting with Teron. But yeah, go check it out.
Check it out on what venue? What's
my channel this time?
Your channel? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, cool. Come here, Teron. I've been on your channel 4 times now. Come here. And I feel bad too because I didn't know, but he, again, we recorded yesterday at like, I think it was like 2 o'clock his time, 3 o'clock my time because he's in Dallas. And he just flew in from Miami, went to his two daughters' basketball championship game, and then came and did my collab. I was like, damn, you should have told me. I would have moved it to another day. He was like, nah, I'm good. And again, this is going to sound like very suspect, but he had a tank top, a guinea tee on before he put his hoodie on. He is ripped.
He's like, always been.
Once he stopped playing, offensive lineman, he got ripped. Like, holy crap.
He's always been ripped. They just have to put on weight and carry weight because of the workload that they have to have.
He said that too. I think the last time I was on before the draft, somebody made a joke like, hey, we need you to come back. And he was like, I'm not at that weight no more. No,
nope. He had right guard weight.
Pouncey was tight end weight, actually.
Pouncey's like 211.
Yeah. They all look so, they're like, I don't need this anymore. It's bad for my health. I'm going to get rid of it. Javier said, hey guys, big fan since the beginning. We appreciate you, bud. Did you guys see that Le'Veon Bell said about Adam Gase? I thought it was rough. Yeah, we talked about it on Friday. Interesting. If you want, go back and check out that episode because Omar Kelly had a little bit of tidbit to throw in on that. Wata said, what time to get a Tua jersey? It's got to be on sale, JK. Always wanted a Devon Best jersey. Anyone know where I can get one in a bigger size? eBay. I saw all of these old school Dolphin, like early 2000 jerseys. You know, you can get Cameron Wake. I'm getting a Cam Wake, Chris Chambers, Randy McMichael, and they're like $50 a pop. go on eBay.
So those are the jerseys that I would encourage people to buy, not current player jerseys. Like, yeah, buy some player that you really respected, whatever the story was for that player. Like me, I would if I had to get a jersey, I'd probably get a Reggie Bush jersey, mm-hmm, other than my Tua jersey, which I'd still want. Mm-hmm. I want a Reggie Bush jersey because Reggie came in and everybody had these preconceived notions and perceptions of who he was. Mm-hmm. It was nothing like how he was portrayed. Nothing. And hard worker, leader. I remember when he challenged Jeremiah Bell. Remember that part when they had like a captain battle off or something like that, where I forgot what it was. Reggie checked the team about effort and energy, and Jeremiah Bell was like, "Oh, I think Reggie's wrong," or something like that. You know, I think, and yeah, and then Reggie came back, was like, "Nah, I said what I meant. Like, this team, with the effort it sucks, or leadership sucks, or something." I forget what he said, and Reggie was straight up about it, and I always respected that.
Nice. Loved Reggie. Loved him.
I hear you, Papard.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Tua's jersey, I think once he got released, it was like $40 now.
Well, so, who jersey?
Tua.
No, you can buy a COVID test and get a jersey.
You can buy what?
A COVID test. They give out the jersey free with it.
When you get blood taken, instead of giving you cookies, they give you a jersey.
You go to Publix, ask for a cookie.
Y'all ain't right. I want to see everybody.
Who's wearing one now?
Jalen Tolbert.
There you go. Just put Tolbert on the back.
What I said before was I would get a Brian Cox jersey and a Mark Nixon jersey.
I get a Cam.
Did you guys see there was a thing that I saw and I wanted to ask Papard about it? I don't think I saved it. It was a Dolphins tier where they ranked all the great players and they put them in particular tiers.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel comfortable about it. Because they had
somebody
some
was
players.
Missing.
I thought people were missing, and then the team. Yeah, there we go. They had the tier ones are Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, and Zach Thomas. And my thought to that was, why would Stevenson not be in tier one? Why would Paul Warfield not be in tier one?
It's not showing.
How would Zonka not be in tier one?
Oh, yeah. Where's Zonka on this list?
He is.
Nope. Oh, he's in tier three.
Yeah, tier three.
Sure, we'll go with that.
They have Ryan Tannehill in tier seven.
Really? Mm.
A little low for him.
Oh, I didn't. Tier seven.
Shouldn't even be on a tier, what? To be honest with you.
Where's Tua?
Yeah. If Tannehill's on the list, Tua got to be on the list.
Why is that?
Because Tua actually led them to the playoffs where Tannehill didn't.
Tannehill did lead his team to the playoffs. Man, he just didn't play in the playoff game.
Matt Moore led his team to the playoffs.
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore filled in.
Matt Moore won two of
Wasn't Tannehill like eight and three?
Two of the final three games that got them into the playoffs.
Yeah, but all those games, didn't Tannehill win like eight games that season?
But if they lost those games.
With like six games remaining.
So they had to go games without Tannehill to seal the playoff bid. And Matt Moore did it.
If they didn't win those games without Tannehill.
Because Tannehill always shrunk in December, like some other quarterback y'all want to call out. And if he had actually played in December, you know he would have shrunk. But Matt Moore did that thing.
You know what? I'm going to say Tannehill was a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa overall. I mean, we got to start being honest about it. He was a better overall player than Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, Jay Tillman wants us to talk about the rehab video that Tyreek put out. I have not seen it, but I wouldn't be shocked if that man is doing cartwheels already.
Rehab video?
I have not
seen it. Did you not put up the tier?
It wasn't working for me.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I'm going to set it to Poupard because I'm very curious. I wouldn't answer this question because I don't know most of these players. Like, there are people on their list. I'm not going to say which names, but I'm like, who?
Guys, yeah. The E and T shot said, buy or sell Mason Rager making the 53 or practice squad.
Absolutely buying it. I've seen him train. He's a unique athlete. He's a little stiff, but he's rocked up. He's got real motor. He's got a motor to him. When he puts on pads, maybe he carries his pads well. I would definitely. He's one of the better athletes I've seen train at Bomberitos.
He's got a shot. He's a high-end UDFA.
Yeah. I expected him to get drafted.
Mr. Dan said,
and the other people I saw at Bomberitos that I was impressed with got drafted earlier than I expected.
Mr. Dan said, I wasn't a TD fan at first. He used to get on my last nerve. He said, but I guess he's cool now. Love the show, by the way.
Salute, Mr. Dangham.
Prickin' a kid.
Why do people say I used to get on their nerves?
The one I hate.
Because I told him our quarterback was no good and they got mad. I don't get it.
I think you're
right. The one I hate was when people say, I don't always agree with you. But good. I'm like, I didn't ask you to agree with me. Like,
I don't want people to always agree with me.
No. Like, why do people always do that? Like, I don't need you to agree with me. Just give some thought to what I said and formulate your own opinion.
The one I like is, I love you, or I love your show, but just say what you got to say. Don't sugar it up first and then throw in the, but you suck at what you do. One person said that. I respect you a lot, but you don't know what you're talking about and you haven't been good the past 3 years. Then you don't respect me and what I do.
It's funny. I explained... So I have a new girlfriend, and I explained what I do to her, which is like, I watch practice at this building, and then I tell people what I think, and then they tell me that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and that I don't know what I'm looking at, and that I'm stupid, and then they come around, they're like, oh, I guess you were right.
But...
And then that's what I do for a living. Like,
and the funny thing is, you should have ended it with, and I get paid for all of that.
And I get paid for all of that.
I get paid to get called stupid by people I have never met.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, if you want to go call Omar stupid, go check out his articles on the Miami Herald. You also, Alan Poupard has some great articles on the Miami Dolphins NSI. You can check out youtube.com/TDFinstalk and Roundtable Sports. Go check out my episode today with Teron Armstead on the channel. Shadow Fate, real quick, said, these midday shows are killing me. What about us with the day jobs? Love y'all. I'm missing able to catch the live interact and with what's being discussed. We're moving it around. Don't you worry, pretty little head. We're going to shift around, especially when training camp starts. These two gentlemen over here are not going to be able to do during the day.
Friday, so. We're not going to be able to do an early show Friday because we have the rookie camps.
So we'll probably do early show Wednesday, and then the guys will do a night show Friday. So we'll shift it around. We got you guys. But we will see you Wednesday, and then we'll see you Friday. 3 days a week, you got our beautiful faces yelling at each other. But we are out. See you Wednesday.